You're listening to your Kauai Community Radio Station, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284 AL Halaiva. It's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Robin and Paul, and on today's show, we will soup things up with fresh-picked celery, get the inside scoop on Kauai's community-supported agriculture, and draft a blueprint for your plant village. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with our fine sponsors.
Aloha, Robin.
Aloha, Paul.
Good to see you in the garden again.
Yeah, wonderful to be here.
Right on. Well, we are excited for a very good show today, and we're going to jump right into our celestial session. Not a moment too soon to look up into the heavens for inspiration from the celestial influences that make such a difference to our plants' growth and our success in our endeavors. We're going to start, as we do, with the Hawaiian moon phase, and the Hawaiian moon phase today provided by the Hanalei Watershed Hui's Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar 2014. And today's Hawaiian moon is Kuulua. This is in Ho'onui, or the first Anahulu or Hawaiian week. Kuulua moon rose on Kauai at 8:43 a.m. this morning. She'll reach her transit or highest point in the sky at 3:23 p.m. and she'll set at 10:06 p.m. tonight. 11% of the moon's beautiful face is illuminated. And we've got the first quarter moon coming up on Sunday at 10:31 p.m. Ku means to rise upright, as the rising sun is Ku. Therefore, it is fitting that Ku moons also rise in the morning. Ku is the male-generating power, which often rises in the morning. Worshipping Ku was thought to produce good crops, good fishing, long life, and family, and national prosperity for a whole people. That reading from Hawaiian Mythology by Martha Bethwick from 1940. Great resource on the internet. So planting recommendations for this moon: Uwala, sweet potato; kalo, taro; mai'a, banana. And it's said that taro planted today will grow two shoots, this being the second of the Ku moons. If you wait until tomorrow, you'll get three shoots on your taro, or so the adage goes. And that's the Hawaiian moon info.
Incredible. Well, in the biodynamic look at things, today the moon's in Aries, a fire sign, making it a good time to work with our fruiting plants. Thursday through Saturday, the moon will be in Taurus, an earth sign, making it a good time to work with our rooting plants. Sunday and Monday, the moon's in Gemini, an air sign, making it a good time to work with our flowering plants. We've been in the transplanting time up until Tuesday. We are entering the transplanting time on Tuesday. When we reach the apogee, the moon will be in Cancer that day, a water sign, making it a good time to plant our leafy plants for spring gardens.
Fantastic. Right now we're going to have a look at some notable news important to us planters and growers of fine foods and good sustainable crops. And this story from the Scientific American: a cassava revolution could feed the world's hungry. Concerted efforts at crossbreeding and genomic selection have created novel versions of cassava that could dramatically boost yields, ward off malnutrition, and grow in a wide range of conditions. So it turns out that 800 million people worldwide eat cassava, and in Africa, 500 million people depend on the root as their main staple. Naguib Nassar, professor emeritus of genetics at the University of Brasilia, and a cassava breeder, has developed a new variety that yields seven times more than the average cultivar, which is amazing.
Wow.
For anybody who's grown cassava here on Kauai, it seems like the yields are pretty big already. Imagine seven times that off of a plant. Unbelievable. He achieved this by grafting a common cultivar with a wild relative and treating it with a synthetic growth hormone. Well, hopefully he can discover a natural growth hormone he could replace that with. Meanwhile, Hernan Ceballos of the International Center for Tropical Agriculture in Colombia, sure to be a stop on one of our vacations coming up soon, I'm hoping. Anyway, he's bred a variety dubbed asparagus cassava, which has no branches and therefore can be planted denser for higher yields. The Gates Foundation also funded sequencing of the cassava genome, and they also funded the Next Generation Cassava Breeding Project, which aims to jumpstart genetic improvement of cassava. And before you get too concerned that they're using genetic modification, which I didn't actually see any reference to on their website, but they are using a technique called genomic selection. And it's described as a new plant breeding method that uses statistical modeling to predict how a plant will perform before it is field tested. So they're basically using computers to model what the effects of certain genetic combinations are. And it seems that they're doing traditional breeding to come up with these new varieties. So hopefully that's what they're up to. And all of this is to counter the most debilitating cassava diseases and problems: brown streak disease, cassava bacterial blight, and cassava mosaic virus, as well as green mites seem to be out there as well. So if you want more information, you can go to nextgencassava.org. That's spelled NextGenCassava.org. And even if you're just interested in genomic selection as a breeding technique, there's a really interesting discussion on that website all about it.
Sure. Yeah, I wish them all the best on that.
Indeed. So as well, we like to give you an opportunity every once in a while to be the change that you want to see in the world. And this opportunity from our friends at the Center for Food Safety, it's an opportunity to tell Costco to reject genetically engineered salmon. So it turns out that two of the main grocery chains in the U.S., Kroger's and Safeway, have both affirmed that they will not sell genetically modified salmon, and Whole Foods, Target, and other grocery stores have also joined in that effort, but Costco hasn't yet. It didn't seem that they had said that they wouldn't, and now there's this fight about it, but they just haven't said it yet. So here's an opportunity to sign on to a petition that's just asking Costco to do the right thing and represent the consumer's choice and the health of the environment. And we certainly need to be thinking about those, the wild populations of salmon and how they could be affected by genetically engineered fish. So let's consider that as Americans and as consumers, we vote with our dollar, and we have the opportunity, of course, as an end result, to not purchase these items. But if we can even prevent them from getting into the stores, that would be an even more proactive approach. So if this is something that you're interested in and you would like to add your voice, the opportunity can be found at the website, centerforfoodsafety.org.
Well, that is just a hotspot website for all kinds of great information, isn't it?
It is. And thanks again to the folks at Center for Food Safety for helping to support Kauai citizens as well as the county of Kauai in protecting our right to make sure that we know what kind of pesticides are being sprayed on our island and where and when, and to hopefully look at the health impacts too. So thank you, Center for Food Safety.
Mahalo.
Mahalo for that. So right now,
we are going to head to the farmer's market, and we're going to see what's happening there this week. And what's really happening in this season currently at the farmer's market, seeing lots of them on the table, is fresh-picked celery. And celery is a long-ish term crop for farmers to grow. It prefers to grow in the wintertime, and so right about now, when the weather's just starting to warm up, little bit at a time, you're going to see the celery being harvested and offered at the market. You want to look for crisp whole plants that are a lovely green color. That's how you're going to find them here on Kauai, because not many of our Kauai farmers blanch celery. But if you're familiar with grocery store celery that tends to have white stalks that are super tender and soft and not very stringy, generally those crops of celery have been blanched. So I'll just explain quickly what blanching means is simply burying the stems of the plant with some kind of soil or material which starves the cells for light, making them unable to photosynthesize, which is how you get the white color.
I'm really surprised you can get away with that with all the potential pathogens or bugs that would be in the soil, that you wouldn't come into some serious problems with your crop if you buried it.
Sure. Now, I'm not sure in a commercial system what they actually bury them with, but I do know that when I buy celery, often there's lots of dirt in underneath each sheath.
Right.
So it does tell me that there's some kind of soil material there. Blanching will make them more tender. I personally prefer the kawaii-grown celery. It might be a little more stringy and a little stronger in flavor, but I think it's worth it to be able to get it from our wonderful farmers here on Kauai. It's definitely a seasonal pick right now, so keep your eyes out when you're at the markets. It's low calorie, it's antioxidant, it's loaded with vitamin A, vitamin C, folic acid, vitamin K. It is an excellent soup base. That's really how I find I use celery the most. It's known as bouillabaisse, and the base of your soup would be celery, carrot, and onion. You put those three things together, and it almost really doesn't matter what else you add to the soup. You're going to have an excellent, excellent soup base. So that's just one of a myriad of ways to enjoy Kauai's beautiful celery.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that the farmers are getting the value that they deserve for growing such a long season crop that takes so much, you need such rich soil and so much contributions to its good growth? Yes,
it's true. And I hope that they do. And that is a good point. When we're at the market, we must realize, you know, the work that's put into these crops, and you really probably aren't going to pay any less for it at the regular grocery store, but you know that your money's going into the hands of someone who's really caring about our soil here.
Mm.
So my suggestion is maybe not try to bargain with them so much, even if you think it's a little exorbitant. Chances are you're going to get your nutrition. You're going to get your full dollar's worth in your nutrition that you get.
I like to do the opposite, and if I see something amazing on the table, like a beautiful a cluster of celeries, give them more than they're asking for.
Oh yeah, watch their eyes get really wide and get really happy. I know the marketeers don't probably get as many tips as they could weekly, and they're so devoted to getting that produce out there every single week.
Boy, do they deserve it.
It's true.
So this is In the Garden on the Farm on KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. Coming up in this hour, we are going to be dipping into design of gardens, drafting out that blueprint for a really smart, ergonomic, and sensible garden that takes care of the soil. But first, right now, we're joined in the studio by a great friend and a superb practitioner of the art of agriculture, Jillian Seals. Jillian is a master farmer and director of the Kauai Farm Connection, a local food distribution network that largely focuses on a year-round community-supported agriculture program, also known as CSA. She's a second-generation farmer who has been growing food and educating the youth and adults alike here on Kauai for the past 15 years. Jillian and her husband Gary, along with a fantastic crew, steward 12 acres in the heart of Kilauea Town, using permaculture and biointensive practices in their food production and soil remediation. Back in 2007, Jillian founded the Kauai Farm Connection after realizing the great need to connect island residents with island farmers. The KFC participates with several other farmer members on the North Shore to ensure the distribution of quality, seasonal, organic, locally grown food. Jillian, thank you so much for taking time on Harvest Day to join us here at KKCR.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Robin and Paul. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's exciting to have you come in as somebody who is so knowledgeable about CSAs, Community Supported Agriculture. You really have been hard at it for a number of years and a pillar in terms of keeping that idea alive, where we've seen folks try it and maybe not stick with it, you've been really at it. So I'm imagining that you've got a pretty good recipe going.
We're working on it. It seems every season we're reformatting things to fit the weather patterns, to fit what's growing well or not, and then also for consumers' needs. So we do have a fun recipe, but at the same time, it's changing all the time, and it's morphing and breathing as the plants and as we are. So the Kauai Farm Connection has been like a baby for me, and it incubated out of the pregnancy of my third child, Azure, and I had time to grow, and that's what we were doing, and all of a sudden there was this abundance of food, and this is after years, of course, of doing farmers markets, and I had one of the first times in my adult life to kind of slow down and enjoy my pregnancy and play in the garden, and it resulted in bounty, and I chose at that time to really relook at what was happening between farmers at farmers markets and the community, and there's been a gap there, and slowly but surely we are seeing more farmers. Yes, please. We're seeing more markets. We're seeing more people participating on both sides. So there's not only folks that are farming more, but there's also more folks that are supporting local, and we need that. So what we've done with our model with CSA, which is a model that started in the United States in about the 1980s, and there were a lot of influences with the idea of CSA that came from Rudolf Steiner, which we all know he has had such great influence in a lot of the biodynamic farming and practices. So in the 1980s, it really stirred up, and in the United States alone now, I think one of the last statistics I saw from the USDA back maybe 2008, so there's over 13,000 CSAs in the United States, which is fascinating, and that means that there's a lot of small farms and a lot of community members that are supporting them. So the KFC was created based on an abundance on my end and a need and desire within the community that met in the middle, and it happened quite authentically. So the Kauai Farm Connection also participates with other farmers because, as we all know, there is not a guaranteed sale at market. So with a community-supported agriculture program, farmers can come to our facility, and we can distribute their food for them, whether it's through our wholesale aspect of our business or whether it's through the community-supported agriculture model, which is a weekly box. And for those who don't know about CSA, what that is, the structure is full circle between the community, the farmer, and the economy. It really keeps the dollar local. Folks get to know where their food comes from. They get to know their food and farmer, which is a beautiful thing. Families can come visit the farms. They can look their farmers in the eye and vice versa. And it's always so beautiful to see our clients and our customers smiling. It's like that glimmer and that yay that we all get it even at a sale at market. So weekly boxes are available generally. For most CSA systems, ours is a weekly box every Wednesday. So right now the crew's at the farm packing it up and working hard. Boxes are available in the afternoon after harvest. So most often with CSAs, your stuff is picked that very day, which really holds a lot of vitality. Generally, customers and clients will pay in advance in a CSA, and that ensures the farmers' budget. So it lets them know what they can grow, what they have the ability to grow, and how many people they're feeding. So there's some different options and variations to many different CSAs, but for ours, we have two size boxes, which accommodates between one person, a single person, or a family of five. And it's a mix of fruit and vegetables. And sometimes we put honey in there, and sometimes there's eggs available. And with the expansion of our facility with our certified kitchen, we're hoping to provide more prepared foods over time.
Oh, far out. Well, I know, just to go back to what it's like for the customers to come and be on the farm and walk through the garden and appreciate the beautiful environment and the healthy environment, healthy ecosystem that their food is being grown in is just such a boon for so many people.
As well as to see the farmer in their natural habitat, I think.
Outstanding when I get field.
When I get to visit somebody's farm, of course I'm excited to see the farm, but to see the farmer and feel that love that is just at that peak of overflowing from them when they're standing in this thing they've created that's sharing their love with the whole community. Mm-hmm. That's what really gets me excited.
It is, and on my behalf as the farmer, you know, each week I spend time in the field to harvest, very rarely anymore. I'm usually doing a lot of the coordinating, but I also pack every single person's box personally. Mm-hmm. And I get to see what comes in. I get to be that quality control. And
oh, yeah.
It's so exciting to just look at this bountiful table and then to be able to touch each piece and place it in someone's box. And I know all of my clients. And so it's a real true gift. And we have clients on all over the island. We get folks that visit too that come onto our website and they're just like, yeah, I'm coming in for a vacation. Can you make me a box? Absolutely. Mm. We truly believe that with our CSA model, we have it structured in a way that you can drop in, you can be a consistent member for a season, you can come on for 2 weeks for a trial. You know, we want to get everybody to have a taste of it, literally. And we're also the only farm on the whole island that accepts food stamps. So for that...
That's seriously cool.
And it was some hoops, let me tell you, but we're there. And so it can't be that, wow, we can't afford this. We can't afford the organic. Right. It's really the value that you're getting is what you would find at the market as well, you know? So really it's just a surprise every week of, hey, this is what's in season. And it offers our clients the ability to be creative with their food and be creative with their meals. Mm.
Sure. And I'm sure all the extra coordinating that it takes to allow customers to drop in for a week or two, or there's a lot of folks on Kauai who don't spend their entire year here, but they spend only part of the year. Mm-hmm. That's a really great service to offer because people know when they come back or they come here, they can get really great quality produce.
Yay. And like I said, I know all of our clients. I have personal relationships with them. Our numbers have expanded and contracted many times over the last 8 years. We've had as many as 120 members at one point in time with 4 drop-off sites. And, you know, as I expressed with CSAs, it really depends on how the season's looking and who's participating to really set the tone for how much we can handle. And then, of course, as we have farmer members coming in and supplying us as well, that sets the tone. So here we are in April after a beautiful spring, March, lots of rain and, you know, some storms here and there. And we're just getting back into it despite some of those storms. And that's another factor of CSAs. When you sign on as a member, you're signing on to support your farmer. And that goes through the good and the bad. You know, when there's a shortage of something at the supermarket, generally the price will go up. Mm-hmm. And with a farm and with a CSA, there has to be this mutual understanding. And over the years, we've been very, very blessed to not have to take pauses in our services. However, this last year, we did take a small hit twice now. Mm-hmm. And we had to take a week off, and our members were sending us thank you cards and hang in theirs. And that to me was just even another one of those joys that seldom come around in the farming community, but they're there. Mm-hmm. So, it's all about supporting, you know, we bountifully fill these boxes weekly with fruit and veggies and goodies, and it's a pleasure to do so.
So would you be willing to talk to us a little bit about what are your favorite parts? What are your favorite upsides to that method, the CSA method of getting the produce out there to families?
Well, for me, it's I understand my budget, And that's important. Farming on Kauai is not an easy practice. It's a joy if the pieces have fallen in place, and a lot of blessings come along with that. So knowing the budget allows me to create jobs, and that's a really important piece of the puzzle for me. Over the years, we've had great folks come through, and folks who have stayed on for years as field management and as crew, that are happy to be outside and digging in the dirt every day. And all of our practices are done majorly by hand. So there's so much concentrated energy that goes into our food. So to see that vibration come out at harvest every week, and that's a huge joy for me. Flexibility is an important one, too, that we always have to work with. Mother Nature shows no mercy sometimes, so some weeks it may seem lighter than others, but in the end, when I look in the boxes, there's happiness there, and there's good food, and I know our clients are satisfied.
You're listening to In the Garden on the Farm, and our special guest in studio, Jillian Seals of Kauai Farm Connection. We're talking about CSA's Community Supported Agriculture Model. It's kind of a subscription service. It's a way for the community to make a commitment, stand behind their farmer, and then receive an ever-changing, incredible box of produce. I've seen these boxes coming out of your farm, Jillian, and they really are like, you know, something you could put under the Christmas tree, and it would be the most beautiful present. So, so thank you. Thank you for that.
And, yeah, absolutely.
So we've heard about some of the upsides, and I guess the next question, of course, would be, what are some of the challenges to this model, and why aren't we, I guess, that stemming from, we don't see that many farms really doing this model, or we've seen farms that have done it and perhaps they've stopped doing it. So what sort of problems do you identify?
Well, rather than problems, I would maybe just call them the ebbs and flows of life. You know, it's a structure for us that we try to provide a container of food that's guaranteed to you. And it's hard to get the reciprocity on the other end sometimes. It can be a large financial contribution up front that not everybody's ready for. So that can be a factor, which it limits some, which is exactly why we chose to do food stamps, so it didn't limit everyone. For me, I feel like I'm so interconnected with the whole process. I do all the bookkeeping. I do all of the business side, as far as managing all the lists every week and seeing who's on vacation and who's not, that it's a lot of puzzle piecing. And that can be weary. You know, as I had mentioned, I'm not in the fields harvesting and working so much anymore. More on my end over these years, I'm in the business side of it, and really making sure that that's flowing, so that all the amendments can be purchased and the seeds, and those are pieces of the puzzle that take figuring, which is why having a set budget with committed participants is helpful. Now, I would never turn anybody away from a box of food. So as I mentioned, if people want to drop in for a week, of course, we'll do our absolute best to accommodate it. And that helps roll on to working with more farmers, because we are expanding and contracting all the time. Consistency, well, we'd love that, but we aren't a grocery store. So that on a consumer's part is important as well. You may not get broccoli every week in your box because that's not in season. And maybe we had a big rainstorm and the cabbage rotted, so this week we're not having cabbage. So there is a little bit of that too, and I try to stay really flexible with that. And for some consumers, it's a lot of work to know their food. And when you know your food, you have to be able to recognize it, understand how to cook it. You know, thank God for Google, because there's a lot of folks who will call me, even cell phones, and I'll get snapshots of certain things when I get new clients. What is this exactly? What is this fruit? What is this green? And I'm able to respond very easily with that. And over the years, we've offered newsletters with recipes as well to our clients. And I'm always available if someone has a question. And CSA Day, Wednesday night, we generally are answering questions. So not too many downfalls, a lot of positivity, I'd have to say. And it's really a pleasure to feed people. It's a joy to see people thriving, and local food is one of the best ways to do it because you get the energy and it's less food miles and more vitality, which is very important.
What I'm hearing in part is what I think a lot of us have come to realize, which is to be a good farmer and a successful farmer, you have to be a good business person. And so kudos to you for creating a lifestyle where you can really put your all into the marketing and the bookkeeping and all of those things that have, in a way, nothing to do with the soil, but everything to do with the soil. And we also acknowledge that you diversify. So in addition to having this CSA, you do have a wholesale. And so you're getting your produce, you're getting your products out to the market in different ways as well.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your wholesale division?
Sure. We actually put out at the end of our Wednesday, after our Wednesday, we'll go ahead and assess the field for the week coming. And it's always a projection of what we may or may not have. And I email that list out to our prospective clients, which some of them are restaurants and shops on the island that many of you participate at. I'd love to give a shout out to Hukilau Lanai and Ron. Those guys are major supporters of the Kauai Farm Connection. Also Papaya's Food Stores and the Market in Kilauea Town and the Healthy Hut are some of our best clients. So I really give thanks for that because that's kind of the fluff, and it's nice to know that that is an option every week. Our CSA clients are generally very consistent in numbers, but each week we'll get a surprise order from whoever gets our list. And it's first come, first serve. So if you get the list and you put your order in first, that will be filled first. And with that as well, it's important for the wholesale side to know that you got to jump on it because when it's in season and you want it, this is what it is. And seasonal things can fluctuate in year by year, which will also affect the cost. You know, there's things that are very consistent on our farm. We always have a lot of kale, and we always have a lot of bananas, and that's mainly just a need in my general family. But you know, we have our list that we put out for wholesale is over 50 items each week, and it consists of nuts and fruits, root vegetables, cooking greens, specialty greens, culinary herbs, and then seasonal vegetables. And that list can change weekly based on what we have available at our facility from our farm, which is a 12-acre farm with orchards and gardens. But it also depends on our farmer members and what they have available and what they have to get rid of. So if they do have an overflow after a market, farmers are more than welcome to call us, and we have storage facility and a storage facility and processing. So it's a way to still get some of that value out of your food if you're a farmer and want a dollar value out of it. Some of us like to take it home and feed our animals or put it back in the soil, and it's equally valuable. So we like to offer that for farms in case they have bumper crops, because that's helpful and we can get it out there.
You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa. This is In the Garden on the Farm. Robin and Paul are joined today by Jillian Seals of the Kauai Farm Connection and Kaupea Farms in beautiful Kilauea. And we're talking about CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, and having a diversified strategy as a farmer to get your produce out to people, whether they be eating in restaurants, shopping at the local grocery, or if they've signed on for Community Supported Agriculture, a weekly box of beautiful produce that folks pick up, or in some other models, it's delivered.
We actually do offer delivery as well. Yeah. And with delivery, and excuse me for interrupting, but it is an important one. You had mentioned Robin and Paul are asking about what the difficulties are. And delivery is kind of up there because of fuel costs. So we try to, we do offer it, but it has to be based on participation. In order for us to put up another pickup location even, we ask that we have at least 10 clients to pick up at that location. So currently Papayas and Kapa'a is our east side pickup location, and Kilauea at the farm in Kilauea on Kaupea is our North Shore pickup. However, with 2014 coming in the new year, I have posted it out there, and it is available on our website, www.kauaifarmconnection.com. You can go there and sign up to be a member, and you have options to choose from 3 months of produce or 6 months of produce with or without delivery, or you can have pickup at the farm. And we will do east side and north shore deliveries.
Wow.
With participation. So it's a two-way street, and we welcome everyone. Everyone needs to eat.
I can see you have to be supremely organized to be able to pull all of this off.
Ooh, well, I try. I like organization. So, and we've got some great systems that we've been working with and figuring out over the years. And like I said, we're always tweaking it a little bit to help perfect it and make it work for everyone.
Well, I want to throw in there that when I was doing some research for this show, I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about with CSAs. But as I started speaking to farmers other than yourself, Jillian, who are also doing CSAs, the story really changed faces, and the story more became, wow, a lot of the people I spoke to have a very small system, and they actually have all the people that they can handle signed up. And some of our long-running CSAs, like Lee Reverses of North Country Farms, she just doesn't accept new customers. And over again, the folks I spoke to said, we're maxed. We really can't do any more. And I found that to be very interesting.
They said, don't even mention us on the radio.
They actually even asked specifically that I don't even mention them on the radio.
Well, great for them.
Yes.
That's fabulous. I'm happy to hear that that's the trend right now and that they're being supported. That's
it was very interesting. But a couple of the people I spoke to, namely Ed Sint at Kauai Roots Co-op, and he actually services the Hanapepe, Kalaheo, and Poipu area particularly. He's been at it for about 4 or 5 years, although his system, he is not offering his CSA right now because he's transitioning his farm to hopefully, and with Bernie Sow's help, the first commercial aquaponic farm going on.
That's exciting.
And he let me know that he will be back online for his CSA in June or July of this year. Mm-hmm. And according to Ed, the CSA for him was the most predictable part of all of his farming endeavors, way more predictable than markets,
yes,
as we know.
Guaranteed.
He said he never lost money on his CSA.
Mm-mm.
And he was able to, with a small group, again, he wasn't a huge CSA, he's able to personalize the boxes to his customers to some degree.
Yes.
And he felt like he had good customer satisfaction at that, and that the customers are pretty understanding also when a certain thing that had been in the box every week just isn't there this week for whatever reason.
Mm.
But one of the cool things that he's offering, he actually has over 200 peach palms. So he offers hearts of palms in his CSA boxes every week, which I thought was pretty cool.
Very cool. And
so some of the other folks I talked to, instead of doing a subscription plan where whatever was fresh at the that week from the farm was in your box, people had strayed more towards what I'd call an e-commerce type of situation, where they sent out a shopping list to the participants who then could choose from the list what they wanted mm-hmm. and pay only for what they asked for, basically.
Absolutely. And that is an amazing convenience that is offered through the Kauai Farm Connection as well.
Yeah, and taking even more organization, I imagine.
Absolutely. And what it is it's putting the pieces of the puzzle together every week. When you have CSA members that have put forth 3 and 6 months worth of finances for food, they're guaranteed. So there's that organization of what needs to go in the ground and come out of the ground each week for that. And then for people that pop on and off, there always has to be a little bit of leeway. The Kauai Farm Connection does offer something called a you-pick option, which is not a you-pick at the farm, come pick.
Not you-harvest.
Not you-harvest, but you may choose, you-pick. And that is part of our emailing where we will send out to clients who make that request. So if you send us an email, we're at kauaifarmconnection@gmail.com. You can send me personally an email, or you could do it through the website and sign up and ask questions. And if you're interested in a weekly option, that is something that we'd love to offer. However, if it's just to call in and ask for a bunch of cilantro, let's make each other's day, you know, and that's where a you pick option or a picking and choosing option could get a little.
Sure, you'd want to include a minimum price in there.
Generally, we do, and we do generally share that as well. But again, like, who wants to turn away someone who's really wanting your food?
Yeah.
And so we do make compromises. I've been here a long time, so I know a lot of people, and I tend to say that my clients are my friends, and vice versa. So we want to keep that energy flowing and moving. And a you-pick option is great because it lets you know that whatever it is that you're asking for is surely going to be used or liked or consumed. And that is important for some households.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was another farm, the Wootens Farm, John and Nandi. Now, they actually do things in a way more traditional, old-school style. No real computer technology going on, although you can email them at wootenkauai@gmail.com. But basically, they offer custom orders 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Wednesday,
beautiful.
They are at the Kapa'a Farmers Market, so they're unavailable.
I love those guys. Busy, 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 and honestly, role models for even me over the years. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever saw celery on Kauai was at their booth on a Wednesday in Kapa'a, and didn't recognize it. And I grew up farming. Celery wasn't necessarily something we always had in my parents' farm, but when I saw green Kauai celery, I had to ask exactly what it was, because I was a little unsure. I had an idea, and sure enough, took that home, and it, a little bit different tasting, but you could tell it power-packed. So, yeah, go, John and Nadine. Awesome. Love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Robin, can you spell that email address?
Of course. Wooten, Wooten, Kauai, Kauai, @gmail.com. And they actually will give you same-day service if you call before 9 a.m. on that Monday, Tuesday, or Thursdays. You can pick up your orders after 3:30 or before dark, please, in Anahola. And they offer greens, kale, cilantro, chard collards, tree fruits like Avo, and many others. As we know, they have super high quality produce mm-hmm. as well.
I'm so happy to hear about the blossoming of farming on Kauai. I've been here for 15 years participating in it, and I've seen lots of people come and go. And I know that there's just a beautiful foundation that's being created over these last few years of local food, and hearing that some of the smaller CSAs are full is just music to my ears. And it keeping CSAs small is a way to keep it personalized. It's a way to keep it quality. So whereas we are interested in feeding whomever we can and however we can with the quality grown foods, we understand that there are certain farms that only have time to do what they can.
So much, and they want to keep their quality up, and so spreading it out with too many people. So it is a very sensible decision. You guys have a great big system and a nice big family and your beautiful children. And
at the same time, I'm not pumping out 25 acres, you know. I mean, and there are some of us lovely farmers on the island, John, Ned, and Marta. I love you guys. Maloa Organica'a. Those guys are busy, busy, busy with a lot of acreage, and that takes a lot of commitment. When you have that much going on, you require the manpower. And Kauai, being as transient as it is, may not always provide that consistency that we need as farmers to provide the food to our clients. So,
how many farmhands do you have right now at your farm?
Right now, I have 3 farmhands that work, and I've got my system pretty dialed because I have, as you know, I have 4 children, so I have a big family, and weekend time for me is important. When my kids are at school, that's my time to jam. So in the middle of the week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are our major days for in the fields and harvest and deliveries and packaging. Monday and Friday are a little bit lighter. That's a flux day for the farmhands. And then the weekends are for my family. So that's been a rolling practice that we've done for many years. And that is not to say that I wouldn't do special deliveries on other days with advance. And that's something that we offer as well, because we do serve a lot of different retreats, and they require pickup or delivery several times a week based on their space, where they're holding retreats and whatnot. So I think that if anybody's out there and interested in becoming a member or participating with any farmer, my advice to the community would be to get to know them and talk with them and see if you can work out what you need to get that food. Many of us are very willing to be flexible. And so if you have special needs, even if they're dietary needs, that's an important discussion to have. And I think that's a way to really unify clients and farmers as well. And it gives the farmers an opportunity to know what's desired rather than what grows well here. Because we all know there are some things that grow well more, that are more readily available than others and grow better than others. Right, so,
Well, Jillian, thank you so much for sharing about CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. And just to remind folks, they can get more information by giving Jillian a call, 652-5110, or going to kauaifarmconnection.com or emailing kauaifarmconnection@gmail.com. And right now we're going to shift gears because we're so fortunate to have you in the studio as well to talk about garden design, which was a segment suggested by Robin, and I know she's got a lot to share about it. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say we're lucky to have you because your gardens are so beautiful. And it's funny that we mentioned Ed Sint earlier in the program because Ken Lindsay, one of your students, actually designed the garden there at Ed's farm. And I would say that both your farm and his are the most beautifully laid out garden beds that I've seen, just beautiful curves and magnificent work by Ken and yourself in that style. So, Robin, I'm going to ask you to kick off that
subject. Of course, of course. Well, garden design, of course, there's some formal, very formal type designs. I'm not going to really go into a whole lot of detail into that, but lots of classical garden design ideas that can still be useful. One of them, I think, one of my favorite one is if you're not necessarily a farmer, but you're just a backyard gardener like myself, I want my garden to be really beautiful too. And not that farmers don't want their gardens to be beautiful, but they probably functionality takes a little more weight in design in a farm garden. But, perspective is really cool. If you have a small garden and you want to make it look bigger, you actually make your path get a little bit narrower towards the back, and it actually gives a depth perception that the garden is bigger than it is.
Cool.
And another Japanese garden tip on that is if you put a big plant forward and a very small plant in the back, it also makes it look bigger. Or you can flip that around and make your garden look smaller by putting the big tree in the back and the small plant in the front.
All these things that to think about, all these details.
There's lots of details, but if you're taking your time and you're wanting to create, you know, a lifestyle choice of growing some food for yourself, there's just some things to consider. To me, first and foremost, do you need a fence? Mm. Is there a healthy wild chicken population in your area?
Or pigs.
Or pigs. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe your own kept chickens.
Or children.
Or dogs. I mean, there's all kinds. So, A, do we need to have a fence is pretty important. And then we need to make pathways in the garden because it's very important, I've learned, to make sure that a person who's walking in the garden knows exactly where they're supposed to be.
Very important.
And not where the plants are supposed mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put a lot of effort into building soil in your garden beds, you don't necessarily want anyone walking over the super fluffed, nice soil. And I'd say that to me, that's one of the most important factors.
And not only location of those paths, but size of them too.
Exactly.
Very important. You want to, that is a maintenance consideration
exactly.
right there, size wise, for sure.
And I would say Sun and Lisa's farm probably has the best example that I've seen in terms of considering the size of the path and the extreme ergonomic ease with which they design their system so that you can get at every possible part of that bed to maintain it and care for the plants. Yes.
That's right. That's yes. right. So you decide, A, are you going to be taking a wheelbarrow through the path mm-hmm. that needs to be wide enough to accommodate that? And if you're looking at your garden space and you're thinking, wow, if I make trails that are big enough for my wheelbarrow, I have almost no garden space left, mm-hmm. then you might want to consider making it a little bigger to accommodate for that.
Or get a smaller wheelbarrow.
A one-wheeled wheelbarrow or, instead of a two-wheeled wheelbarrow.
Exactly.
These are all extremely important points that may make us chuckle, but it's very important. And a lot of consideration for your design of the garden as well is what's your water source? What are you going to be mm-hmm. using? And that's a very important one here on Kauai because wherever you go, there's a very dramatic change in rainfall. So how you lay out your garden and what size your pathways are and what kind of tools you'll be using, whether it's a one or two wheeled wheelbarrow or a hula hoe for your pathways or mulch, is going to be determined by overhead sprinklers, underground sprinklers, T-tape, plastic poly drip lines. There's so many considerations. And if anyone is in need of any support there, Vera at Kauai Irrigation is a gem and would love to hear from you.
Oh, yes, she's an expert for mm-hmm. sure. And so, yeah, we decide that we definitely need to have irrigation nearby the garden, no matter what, because
no matter what.
Cannot count on rainfall necessarily to keep our plants growing. And automated systems, I think, work good for lots of people, even people who are totally devoted to their gardens, because you may not be able to be there at that moment, right, when the plants need the water. And I certainly have noticed that the plants appreciate the consistency mm-hmm. of the water going on at 6 a.m. every morning. I think at 5:59, they're like, okay,
I'm ready.
They
have that memory as well.
Right. And so just another note on the trails, different kinds of trail strategies. You can have mowed grass. You can use mulch. If you do decide to go with grass, you might want to use a bagging lawnmower to mow them so that you're not blowing grass seed and grass pieces onto the garden beds where they will probably regrow. If you're going really slick, you can use pavers. And then on that note, you might want to edge the beds as well to delineate where people go and where plants go in the garden. And you can use logs, rocks. You can even pour concrete borders. At the low end, there's plastic edging to just make it a little easier.
With those logs and rocks, though, be aware that you may be creating habitat.
Absolutely.
For undesirable right. denizens of the garden.
Well,
such
you know,
as
slugs.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Slugs and snails for sure. And other habitats, you put a log in the garden and you've got an apartment building for lots of biodiversity. But, you know, speaking on the logs, there, one of my students has had a property that he was installing some gardens, and we helped out with that design. And he was new to the gardening concept and an electrical engineer, and thought to just maybe go buy wood, straight up 2x4s or 4x4s from Home Depot. And there was a consideration there with what that wood's treated with and how long that will, you know, if it would leach out. It was a factor that he never even considered. However, on the property, they were doing some clearing, and they just so happened to be clearing albizia trees that were about 6 to 8 inches in diameter. And it was a consideration that I had shared with him. Well, you know, maybe you try this as your edges instead of the wood from Home Depot, treated wood. And, you know, and it was a cost factor that came into it too, you know, and it was something that wasn't even considered. So look around and see what you have available, and ask your friends, and there's so many resources around, and our growing community is fruitful. So sharing is an important part of that.
Well, on the note of resources, one of my most favorite books in the world about designing gardens is called The Medicinal Herb Grower. It was written by Rico Check of Horizon Herbs, a small family farm in Williams, Oregon. And I'll just share with you one of his ideas there. He calls them the tortugas. Mm-hmm. And if you have a particular plant that has special needs in the garden, maybe doesn't want to be quite as wet as everything else, he basically takes a few rocks and builds up a small raised bed, a single plant. And he calls it a tortuga because they kind of look turtle-ish. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a brilliant idea, and that's just one of the great tips that he offers in that book, which I believe we have at the seed exchanges often on the Regenerations library table. So.
Indeed, it is a book we have and happy to share with the community. We're going to have to leave our garden design discussion there. I'm sure we could go on for hours. And we're going to have to pick it up on a future show because there's so much to consider. We've got a few quick announcements for you. A cluster of great agriculture classes coming up at Kauai Community College through the apiary program, a feral hive and removal hive split class starting on April 12th. Honey harvesting and wax processing on May 3rd, hive box building on May 2nd and May 9th. For more information, 245-8318, the Office of Continuing Education and Training, which is also offering an introduction to aquaponic systems at KCC class in May. And you can get more information as well at their website. Good news, the Go Farm Hawaii Ag School program is fully enrolled.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
And so congratulations to Catherine O'Brien, and enjoy. I'm looking forward to seeing those students bust out and see what they do on Kauai. Earth Day Rising, number 4, coming up April 18th through 20 at Waipa Foundation. The time is now, is the slogan. And just lots of fun events throughout the weekend. We're having the seed exchange there as well. You can get information right now on the Facebook page for Earth Day Rising, the 13th biannual Kauai Community Seed and Plant Exchange, Saturday, April 19th from noon to 5 p.m. Information at ribg.org. And we still have the botanical prints from Captain Cook's first Pacific expedition going on at NTBG's Botanical Research Center through April 30th. For information, you can call 332-7324, extension 227. If you'd like to have your ag-related event or announcement shared on the air, please email it a couple of weeks in advance to inthegardenonthefarm@gmail.com. We'd like to thank the other members of the In the Garden on the Farm team, Engineer Jack, Phone Tech Mac, Webmaster Laura Christine, and our Station Manager Dean. Mahalo for your very important contributions to the show. If you want to hear previous broadcasts of the show, go to kkcr.org. Click the Audio Archive tab at the top of the page. This has been In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts, Paul and Robin. We'd like to thank our guest and super friend and super mom in the studio today, Jillian Seals of Kauai Farm Connection. If you want more information about her work, you can go to kauaifarmconnection.com or telephone her at 652-5110. Please tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life. Aloha.
Aloha, mahalo, everyone.
Aloha.